They are so driven by variety and adventure. They will be speaking to so many women, they probably won't even remember what they're speaking to you last about. Some of them even have spreadsheets. It's so bizarre. Some of them actually take every woman to the same place, so then they remember where they went. It's bizarre. Well, what has been happening is the paradox of choice. So much choice. Let's see who else is out there. What's better? And whereas now it's like, are they infected? Are they sick?
There's a new checklist.
What really matters? When you're attracted to someone, you really do desire the way they smell. When you lose attraction, something happens in the subconscious where you cannot stand the smell of someone.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Outspoken. Have you ever been ghosted, catfished, or now COVID-19'd? Like every other aspect of life at the moment, the coronavirus has flipped the world of dating upside down and left us in uncharted waters. Today, we speak to dating expert Samantha Jane from The Husband Project to help us navigate dating during a global pandemic. Samantha, welcome to Outspoken. I mean, we're obviously living in such a crazy moment with all of this coronavirus going on. How would you say it's affecting the dating world?
Oh, it's creating massive, massive changes where people are actually resetting and thinking about their priorities. There actually has been a huge spike in online dating because people can't get out there and simply say, hey, let's go for a drink. You can't meet anyone offline. So online is the only option. But people are getting really strategic and they're more genuine because this scare has just enabled them to think about what's really important, and it's family and love that really are the main factors, and health.
Now, as a relationship expert, have you been inundated with calls from people who are struggling in this time and are looking for help on how to actually date in this new world we're living in?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I've had a mixed reaction. Some people, you know, struck by fear and they're frozen, whereas most have said, look, I have a goal of meeting someone and I want to make it happen this year. What can I do? So we're looking at different ways. I help with people find avenues to connect with people online, and so they can still achieve their goal of finding someone despite the times.
So what are some of those avenues? Because I know we've got a few friends who are looking, I suppose, to meet that one person this year and feel a bit depressed about it all. How can people actually connect now?
Yes, what's important is don't be depressed, okay? Like this too, it will pass. It is it's a shocking temporary thing, but think of it as an opportunity and get your priorities right and get out there on dating apps. I mean, dating apps are really adapting to what's going on. They're becoming, because of the popularity, they're offering video chat. So you can go on a viral date. You don't need to leave home. Tinder and other apps, they're also reminding people to keep safe, wash their hands, keep social distances. Well, now that's probably coming to an end with the social distancing, but just being really responsible and getting out there. I would always recommend 2 or 3 apps, find your favorite 1 or 2 and stick to them. Just be persistent.
And do you have any tips on making your profile stand out, or what sort of photos we should be sharing at the moment?
Oh, absolutely. The profile is everything, and that's why it's super important to get it right, because there are so many more people online. It opens up more opportunities, but it also creates more competition. So have a photo that is your absolute best. Ask your friends and family, you know, get some real genuine advice, get expert help. So have a mix of headshots and body shots. You can limit it to about 1 group shot as long as everyone's okay with being in your profile.
What about for the men though? What about for the men? Because they're always, I always think that when men are topless on Tinder or whatever, or Hinge or whatever, they must just be complete, I'll just say it, dickheads. Do you advise men not to put up topless shots?
The men that see me would never in their wildest dreams put topless shots. They just wouldn't. The men that see me, you know, they're genuine, they've got family oriented, they've got good intentions. The topless shots are really just an alarm bell that women should just run from because those guys are like, hey, ladies, look what I have to offer. No good.
I suppose one of the benefits now of having online dating, or, you know, being forced to do it, is that you're actually going to start building some genuine connections with people. Do you think this is kind of a good thing for millennials at the moment?
Oh, it really is, because millennials have this hookup culture, and that's actually, even though it's the culture, it actually saddens a lot. It creates a lot of anxiety and depression and loneliness. So this hookup culture will have to disappear, even if it's temporarily. But when things go back to normal, I think it will change the way they date, and they will become more real about things.
And how do you think these, you know, so-called fuck boys and players will have to adapt to these kind of uncharted waters at the moment?
Oh, well, they're not going to like it, are they? They're really big on, like, okay, let's get to it, let's meet up. So they're not going to like it at all. They're probably going to be the ones that encourage or pressure you into that virtual sex, or they'll be willing to do it dirty talk fast. They are so driven by variety and adventure. They will be speaking to so many women, they probably won't even remember what they're speaking to you last about. Some of them even have a spreadsheet. That's so bizarre. Yeah, some of these guys have spreadsheets. Some of them actually take every woman to the same place, so then they remember where they went.
Oh, it's bizarre.
So, yeah, they'll have date 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is, and they'll know, okay, this restaurant, you know, that event, that theatre, whatever it is, so he just can't forget.
So terrible. Are there really guys sitting and watching, like, the same movie at the cinema over and over again?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's guys with spreadsheets. I've seen it. It's bizarre.
What sort of information is on the spreadsheet?
Oh. if you can say.
The name. The age, where they grew up, all those things of fact-finding, the school that you went to.
So when he's actually chatting,
yeah, you think, oh, he's such a thoughtful guy. And in actual fact, he's just good at keeping data.
So what are the signs to spotting that somebody might be doing this to you?
You know, the funny thing is, it's all about intuition. Intuition plays a huge role in this. And you just have to trust your gut feel. If something doesn't feel right, or he's so smooth and he's so good at making you feel so amazing, don't think that you're the only woman he's doing that to. I mean, the good guys, they don't really have much of a clue as to how to spark that attraction initially. So if you're feeling too connected with the guy because he says the right things, that is a massive alarm bell. He is very good at what he's doing. He's a practiced dater.
Oh, that's some good tips. That's just making me think back to a lot of people over the years. I think that's some great advice for women. I mean, I suppose we're focusing on coronavirus, but I also think a lot of people have written into us asking sort of, how do you know that a guy actually likes you? And I feel like you're the best person to ask that question to.
Thanks. How do you know if a guy likes you? Well, he puts in the effort, and he actually, you know, I have listeners might be interested. I have a download. It's actually the 4 types of men, and it teaches you the different traits to look for in a man and how he behaves. So realistically, if a man is interested in you, you'll know it. He'll make the time to see you. He'll listen to what you're saying, what's important to you. You might mention something like the art gallery, and the next minute you know it, you're going to the art gallery. Or he asks you specific questions about your family. He asks you questions to really connect with you, and he remembers, as opposed to a guy who's just talking to you about how sexy you are and how beautiful you are. I mean, that's all lovely to hear, but, you know, that guy is interested in one thing. It's like getting you into the sack.
That's some very good advice. Talking about online dating, and I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of nudes that are being sent around. What would your advice be to women that are thinking of doing that? Do you say yes, go for it, or maybe rethink?
Oh, definitely rethink it. Really, really rethink it. Because once it's out there, you don't know where it's going to go. You can't retract it. and it could be used against you. I mean, there's a lot of scary people online as well that could, you know, could potentially be blackmailed. It's just, don't do things that you're not comfortable doing. And realistically, wait until you meet the guy before you actually show him some skin.
That's a good idea. I think there's also, it's such a great opportunity at the moment to build more of a meaningful connection with someone through just talking and chatting. What's also your advice for someone who might feel a little bit awkward just talking to someone on FaceTime or over the phone that they haven't met before?
Okay. So just be prepared like you would be for a job interview. You would practice your questions. So I would have a good sort of half a dozen questions under your belt that you can ask that person if you're getting stuck for words. And when you are connecting and communicating with them, you know, you can be flirty by giving compliments. You can ask about their favorite places in the world or their ideal weekend, which will tell you a lot about their values. It'll tell you about their lifestyle and to see how aligned you are. And just keep things really positive, lighthearted. And the great thing is if you're speaking online like that, you can just quickly look to the side and check out your questions because they won't know what you're doing.
That's really good. Well, one thing that I have seen popping up a little bit is people's exes are getting back in touch with them in this sort of crisis at the moment. Have you heard about that? And is there a reason behind that?
Oh, absolutely. Humans are creatures of habit. And you have to remember your ex is an ex for a reason. We, in uncertain times, our first human need, our core need is certainty. So we look for certainty in times of stress and anxiety, and we are looking for that familiarity because that feels safe. So it's really natural to go back to your ex because you know that person. But you have to remember they're not much safer than somebody new. It's just about you grounding yourself, being the best version of you, feeling really confident, and that's the time you should be getting out and exploring your options. So now is an opportunity to really work on any insecurities and anxieties that you have.
And at the moment, as we are still allowed to be leaving our houses and, I mean, still kind of meeting people to a certain extent, do you think that the topic of exclusivity is going to be coming up more and more because there's kind of more fear over if someone is seeing new people?
People want to lock people in.
Locking someone in for that long period of time, we might be in lockdown.
Totally. I mean, even going down to the shopping mall, it's like, oh, you're not social distancing. So, you know, with dating, it's no longer just about condoms and STIs. It's more about, okay, are we exclusive? Who are you seeing? That is definitely going to be a hot topic. Definitely. You can lock them in quicker.
Now, you talk a lot about the science of love. Can you fill us in a little bit about, I suppose, well, the science of love, and I suppose how is it going to change with people not being able to see people face to face?
Well, it's definitely interesting times. The phases of love, there's lust plays a huge part in this. So people tend to get quite physical quickly, and relationships often start quickly and end quickly. Versus now, it's more about creating that emotional connection and actually getting to that space of feeling like they're actually potentially going to be a part of your life where you can help build true connections. So it's no longer just this hookup culture. It's more now about genuine love, genuine connection, getting to know someone first, instead of using, like, right now what is happening in life or what has been happening is the paradox of choice. So much choice. Let's see who else is out there. What's better? And whereas now it's like, oh, are they infected? Are they
there's a new checklist.
What really matters? You know, I might raise my standards a bit. I might be, you know, thinking more about what's truly important. And love will come from this as opposed to lust.
I'm wondering if this is going to be a good time for people that have, like, the boys that are in the friend zone. Because they're still kind of there, but now girls might be like, oh, shit, like, you know, I've got some time, so maybe I'll, you know, unfriend them.
This is totally a good time for the friend zone, guys, because they are the ones that feel safe. And often the guys in the friend zone are actually really good men and they just haven't been given a chance.
Well, talking about onto sort of committed relationships, and people are going to be spending a lot of time with their partners now. And I've seen a few news sites say that the divorce rate in China has gone up since people spent time with their partners. Do you have any tips for people who will be spending a long amount of time just with their partner?
Oh, absolutely. Do you know statistically March is meant to be the month of breakups and divorce?
Why is
that? Because it's a change of, across the globe, it's a change of seasons. People, they've spent Christmas together. They didn't want to break up for Christmas, and then they've held out for Valentine's Day, and then they've finally had enough where they don't want to spend winter together, or they don't want to spend summer together. So they're starting to think about their options. Versus now they're in lockdown. I've known people who have broken up and they're in lockdown. So lockdown can cause some chaos. But at the same time, it could actually save a lot of marriages, because people who have been totally disconnected and focused on work, they actually are forced to be together. So if you have that tension in your relationship, it's pointless continuing to argue. So take a moment and think about all the things that you're grateful for. What do you appreciate about that person? Be really kind. Think about the times when you first fell in love. Think about those moments as opposed to all the toxic stuff. And then once you've had that opportunity to reconnect with them, then you can decide, is this something I want to work on? Was it about me? Was it about the relationship? We've got through these.
And on the other hand, I suppose a lot of people are going through a stressful time with their jobs up in the air and places shutting down. What are some tips with helping your partner overcome that stress?
So important to be kind to them, be kind to yourself, and just be there for them. Let them talk. Let them be a little cranky. Let them snap a little within reason. Just excuse that they may not be the best version of themselves. And then once they've reset, then you can chat to them about options. There are always options in this world to just make the most of every opportunity, no matter what.
I love it. Sophie's sitting there nodding. I think she's had a few outbursts in front of her partner. Yes, he's been putting up with a lot, so I'll have to play him your piece of advice there. What's a stressful time for all.
Oh, it is. But just remember, it will pass as well. We've got some really great measures in place. The governments are locking us down. They're giving us restrictions. So,
We're talking about the lockdown.
A matter of time.
I know. Well, I'm sort of thinking about the lockdown, and, my boyfriend and I went and bought some board games and stuff from Kmart to sort of kill some time.
Yep.
But do you have any cute date ideas for when people are in lockdown? Obviously, we can't go out, but are there any fun things that you can do at home that?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Stock up on some candles. Light up the bathroom with candles.
Now everyone's going to mess up, panic by candles.
Bath bombs if you have a bath, music, massage. Just keep it simple.
This is a little bit off topic, but I understand you did a bit of work with The Bachelor. Are you able to tell us a little bit about that for people that are sick of hearing about COVID-19?
Aren't we all over that? Yeah, absolutely. What would you like to know?
Well, what was your role specifically?
Oh, so I helped them develop some of the compatibility between we did some compatibility between Mitchie and the girls, and I was just there to help him feel supported and without telling him what to do, just giving him the tools to make his own decisions based on some science.
Cool. Yeah, really fun. Have you been watching Maths? Because they've been doing a lot of the whole science and sniffing shirts and whatnot. Is that all a bit of a load of bullshit, or is there actually some truth behind that?
There's some truth. There is some truth. It's really funny. When you're attracted to someone, you really do desire the way they smell. When you lose attraction, something happens in the subconscious where you cannot stand the smell of someone. Even think about the people that maybe there's someone attracted to you and you're thinking, oh, I can't stand the smell of him. I can't figure out why. It's not that he's stinky. It's not that he's dirty or she's dirty. It's just a pheromone thing. So it is real, very real.
Is that what you kind of have, like, with your brothers or cousins, like that sort of weak thing, smell that puts you up?
Yep, that's right. Yep, you got to hope that, yeah. It's like, oh, they stink. And it's not, it's just their smell. It's just, it's a pheromone. It's a hormones. You're just not attracted to them.
How is
it's
that
your subconscious saying, ew, don't go there.
How is that affected by perfumes and that sort of thing?
Deodorant
and...
It's interesting. Like, the more perfume and deodorant that you put all over yourself, it doesn't always have the most beneficial effect. So it's just a small amount, especially if you live in really hot climates, is better because that actually allows your natural pheromones to come through. Whereas perfumes and colognes can actually confuse the senses.
That's interesting.
But that's why, when you think about it, when you buy perfume, it may smell amazing on you, but say one of your sisters, it might not. And that's your chemistry in your skin.
Oh, so that's why you stink today, Kate.
I don't have any perfume on.
I was going to just ask, back to commitment, I suppose. You've spoken a bit in the past about how to make a man commit to you. And I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of women, or I suppose men for that matter, wanting women to commit to them. What would your advice be to someone who's wanting that special person in their life to commit?
First of all, make sure you pick the right person, because that is key. Some people are easier to commit to and inspire to commit than others. Some people you'll have a better relationship with. So when it comes to getting someone to commit, it's all about how they feel around you. And inspiring a man to commit or a woman to commit is actually putting them in a position where they fear losing you more than they fear losing their freedom. So this is about connecting with them positively. When they're away from you, they're thinking about you, they're feeling really amazing around you, and then they're just thinking, I want that person in my life. How do I keep them to make sure nobody else gets them?
Ooh, I like that. I'm talking about, there's some people that are saying that they're not going to date at all during this pandemic. Do you think that's the right thing to do, or do you think people should be a bit more open-minded?
I've heard people say that too. I think it's really important to look after your mental health. So some people are like, I'm not going to date during this pandemic. You need to consider, what is the isolation going to do? Is it more beneficial to even chat to people and connect, just like we are today? It's just a chit chat, as opposed to locking yourself down. Because when you lock yourself down, you're watching the news, you can just be overcome and overwhelmed by all that scary stuff out there.
For anyone who's interested to hear more of your advice, where can they find you online?
Jump onto SamanthaJane.com.au. I'd love to hear from you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time. We've really appreciated hearing of your amazing advice, and hopefully it can help someone out there who's, you know, umming and ahhing about whether they should jump into dating at this time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.